Tonight, as we study together, we're going to look at a few verses from Jesus' words to his disciples, and also we'll look at what our Lord experienced on our behalf. You know, sometimes when we're in the world, we might be at work, at school, when we live as a Christian should live, when we speak the things a Christian should speak, when we oppose the things that Christians should oppose, sometimes what happens is that we face opposition, hostility, maybe mocking, maybe rejection. Sometimes it gets even worse than that in some situations. But Jesus, of course, we know his suffering for us went far beyond that. We read in Mark chapter 15 at verse 16 beginning, it says, "Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to be crucify him." Here we see the actions of these soldiers. And you know, these soldiers aren't so much doing this to Jesus for the same reason that the scribes and the Pharisees hated him. The scribes and the Pharisees had this hatred of Jesus based on the fact that many people followed him, based on the fact that Jesus openly rebuked and chastised them and their hypocrisy. But these men were just being typical men who had power, authority, that were willing to abuse it. So like sometimes happens with those in authority, people, it could be in the police force, it could be in the military, they don't do what is expected of them, but they instead do this kind of thing. So they place a crown on his head. And of course, they have no intention of truly giving homage, paying homage to the Christ. They salute him, but it's not sincere. They bow down on their knees, they worship him, but they have no intent of acknowledging him as the Son of God at this point. So their mocking ends, they remove the items that they use in this mocking effort, and he is led away to be crucified. When we think about our Lord and his suffering on our behalf, we know that we are to imitate him. We are to have the same willingness to say what needs to be said and just take whatever comes. To stand for what is right and what is true and not worry about the consequences. We have in Philippians chapter 2 these words written by Paul, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He just had spoken about humility, serving others, esteeming others better than oneself, which was the humility of Christ. And then it describes him who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery or something to be held fast, to be equal with God. So he let go of that equality with God and he came down what? He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus, because of his love for us, because of his submission to his Father, came into this world wearing flesh, being human in his nature at that time. And then not only did he go through the things that we read about in Mark's account, Mark chapter 15, the humiliation, but then, of course, he was scourged. And you've probably heard many descriptions of that. Brutality. Someone who goes through that can barely function. And so Simon of Cyrene is called to take and bear the cross for him. He goes to the hill of Calvary, and there it is that he's crucified. Even, it says, even the death of the cross. So Jesus is there in agony hanging, and he's dying, and he is suffering. and he doesn't come down from the cross. He doesn't call 10,000 angels, but Jesus willingly offers his life. He speaks those words while he's upon the cross, and then finally he breathes his last, and he dies, accomplishing the greatest salvation that has ever been accomplished. Humanity saved from certain eternal torment and suffering in hell. The devil and his angels have no such hope. They're not spared. Christ didn't die for them. But for human beings, we have this hope of one day being with Christ, truly seeing Him, seeing the Father, inheriting the place that all we can do is just try to imagine. John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions." What does that mean? What's that like? I don't suppose we can even begin to imagine what that's like, but the Lord has prepared such a place for us. But while we're here, what we need to realize is that life is going to be very hard. It's going to be very difficult. Doing the right thing has never been easy, but in these last days in which we live, and in particular, as the Bible says, you know, when times are such that you are faced with an environment where people are opposed to truth and righteousness, and the world is given over to wickedness and immorality of all kinds, it is going to be especially trying to the faith of God's people to remain different, to not conform, to not yield to the pressures that we're going to be faced with, to maintain a trueness to the old paths that God has given to us and not be drawn into what the church in so many places is falling into and becoming. We have to stand strong, fight the good fight, and not let evil have its way with us and God's people, as God's people. And so we think of the words written by John that Jesus spoke. This is John 15, verse 18, beginning, "If the world hates you, it hates us." I was looking at yesterday, a video on, it was talking about some things concerning Genesis and the creation and the flood and all that. And it gave little clips of leading scientists. And their words about anyone who believes in creationism versus the scientific fact of evolution, as they would believe, you understand being hated, you understand being mocked and ridiculed for believing the truth revealed in God's Word. And in so many other areas, the moral stance that you take as a child of God, the world will hate you. But he says, "Know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." The challenge for us is to remain like this. He says, because you're not of the world. What Satan is trying to accomplish is, he's trying to get us to be ashamed of that, not being of the world, and yield to the pressure that we're constantly feeling to be more like the world. Because it's so easy to just go along and be like everybody else. But Jesus says, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." So our job is to just be mouthpieces for our Savior Jesus Christ, to tell the world what he said, to never be ashamed of it, to never compromise it, but to just tell it. And to know that if they hate us, fine. If they persecute us, fine. That's what they did to the Savior. And we must be willing to lay down our lives, to suffer whatever we have to suffer, but to spend time with this book so that we can know it, be assured of the truth, and stand for it steadfastly. Souls are depending upon us doing that. Souls will not be saved unless we tell them the truth. There are many voices telling people things, but it's not the truth. We need to speak the truth, speak it in love, but speak it without compromise so that souls can be saved, and all the while expect the hardship that goes along with being a faithful Christian. There were those who were suffering persecution in the first century in the region of Thessalonica. And what's remarkable is that people in Thessalonica who obeyed the gospel in the midst of times when those people were being persecuted. But the faith that they had in their hearts was so great, stirred up by the proclamation of God's word, that even in the midst of that, they obeyed the gospel and were willing to become a part of a suffering people. Are you willing to become a part of a suffering people? Are you willing to deny the passing pleasures of sin and, like Moses, choose to suffer affliction with the people of God? That's what it's going to take if you want to live as a Christian. God is calling you to a narrow road, narrow gate or way, an opening, and a difficult path to walk on. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. But then we're told that He's not going to leave us. He's not putting us here and departing from us, but rather promises us at the end of the book of Matthew to be with us always, even to the end of the age. So it's hard, but it's not impossible. And in fact, we have the greatest helper anyone has ever had access to, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Become a child of God tonight through faith, repentance, confession, baptism. Have your sins washed away in the blood of Christ, and then begin to walk the greatest life that you can live here, the life of a Christian. You have hope of heaven, being with God forever, laying aside one day this earthly robe and being clothed in the likeness of Jesus Himself, if you live and walk according to God's ways. If you need to come, won't you do that as we stand and sing?